Hi, thanks for joining this week's podcast with Pastor James Jones of the Divergent Church. We hope you will be blessed by the message you are about to hear. If you would like some more information about the church, please feel free to reach out via email at divergentcog@aol.com or go over and check out our website, divergentcog.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you have a blessed day.
Well, church, we have finished off the series, The Quest for Revival, and almost all of the messages are now up on our podcasting station. If you want to check those out, certainly you can go to our webpage and in the archives page. There's a link to all the podcasts. Share those messages with folks. Again, it's never about the messenger here. It's about the message. It's about the Word of God. And we are indeed in a time that is in need of revival. A world in chaos needs a church in revival, and we are at that place. We are at that place where this world is in utter chaos. It's been thrown into confusion by the enemy, and it is time for us as individuals. We've talked about it. We've talked about carrying the glory of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are called to take His glory to this dark world, and now we're going to start looking into some of the elements that that entails. So this morning, we're going to talk about taking up arms. Turn with me, if you will, to Daniel chapter 10. We're going to start at Daniel chapter 10, and then we're going to jump over shortly after that to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So if you want to put a little bookmark or a finger at 2 Corinthians 10, and then turn to Daniel chapter 10, we're going to start at the book of Daniel chapter 10 this morning when we talk about taking up arms. Taking up arms is simply put to pick up weapons and to become ready or become prepared to fight. You say, wow, that sounds aggressive. Well, it is aggressive, and it's an aggressive time we live in. But understanding what our fighting looks like, understanding what our fighting is, it's not fighting as the world fights. It's not fighting as people see it, but it's a whole different kind of fighting. It's fighting in a spiritual realm. And so the first thing we're going to do this morning is we look in the book of Daniel. We're going to look at that spiritual realm. We're going to look at the reality of it, the truth of it, the fact that there is such a thing. And then we're going to go shortly thereafter to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to look at some things that oftentimes I think the church overlooks or misses when we talk about spiritual warfare. So let's start in Daniel chapter 10. And we're going to start in verse 10 and just read 10 through 14 of this chapter. Daniel chapter 10, starting in verse 10, the Word of God says this. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel. For the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Now I want you to understand that. Above and beyond everything else, sometimes when we're praying, maybe it doesn't turn out the way we would like it to, the way we think it should. Maybe things just don't seem to smooth out fast enough. But understand who God is. The moment you humble yourself, the moment you determine to seek God, your words are heard. When you go to prayer, your prayer is not in vain. When you go to seek the face of God, it is not in vain, but your words are heard. So back to verse 12. Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. But now I have come to make you understand what will happen in your people, what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. Now, Daniel had received a vision from God, and this is not the first vision he'd received from the Lord, and this is not the first time that God had moved through Daniel, but he had a vision, and it overwhelmed him to the point of he was even physically ill, and he began to seek God for understanding. And as he was seeking God, the message was delayed 21 days. 21 days from the moment he began to seek God, he waited before he got the answer. Church, I need you to understand, there are forces at work around us right now. Do we see them? And I don't mean visually see them with our eyes. Do we see them? Do we discern them? Do we spiritually understand what it is the enemy is doing around us? Do we understand the things that we see around us? You see, that comes from discernment. Remember the message we preached, the humility of discernment? There is humility in discernment. Discernment is not so I can walk around and say, I can see what's going on in the spiritual realm, and I can tell you this, this, and this. The humility of discernment says, I see my own depravity without God, my need for God, my necessity for God, which links me to Him, and by His Spirit, and through that connection, I can see what is happening around me. I can discern it, because my eyes have been opened by His Spirit. There is also humility in spiritual warfare. And we need to understand that. See, a lot of churches don't talk about that. We talk about getting bold. We talk about getting loud. We talk about spiritual warfare. We're going to charge and we're going to do this and that to the enemy. How many of you have heard that before? You've heard some of that preaching. Oh, we're going to go out and we're going to stomp on Satan's head. Yep, yep. You believe that. Oh, we're going to go out and we're going to do this. Oh, we're going to understand. Spiritual warfare is not about mouthing off. Spiritual warfare is not about imposing my will. Spiritual warfare is about humbling myself and obeying the Spirit of God and leading as He leads, or following as He leads me. Sometimes spiritual warfare is humbling myself before people who don't deserve to be humbled before. But because they're in authority, I'll do it. And you say, how's that possible? Think about the apostles. Remember when the apostles, we talked about this last week when they were walking in, Peter and John were walking in, the man was healed, right? There was this great commotion. Everybody was excited. They told him about Jesus Christ. And then the next thing that happened was Peter and John were taken before the Pharisees. And they were rebuked and they were chastised and they were disciplined. And he said, these are uneducated men. What can we do? They wanted to beat him. They wanted to punish him. But because of the miracle, they were afraid of how the people would react. So they condemned them. And they said, you can't speak in this name, Jesus. And you can't do this anymore. I want you to realize when that was happening, they were engaged in spiritual warfare. And the words they said next, they had to choose carefully because that was how they fought. The words they spoke next were how they engaged the enemy. And so the things they said next were, is it better for us to obey God or to obey man? They humbled themselves. They respected the authority. Just like one of the most famous places of respecting authority, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. He defies God. He mocks God. And their first response is, O King, live forever. There's lessons in these things. There's things, this is how you fight. I know, sounds weird, doesn't it? Because the way the world fights is, you put the caps lock on and you start typing, right? That's how the world fights, isn't it? For those of you who don't know, we've got to impose our will, and we've got to stay how it is, and we've got to stay. Sometimes the greatest spiritual warfare is fought from humility because the result is not me conquering another person. The result is the Spirit of God conquering sin, light conquering darkness. And what was happening here, there was true, real spiritual warfare going on. But this was something that was beyond Daniel. This was something that was beyond you and I. This isn't natural. This is supernatural. So an angel comes to Daniel and says, 21 days I was held up. The archangel Michael, the prince Michael, came. Now, you heard that name before, Michael the archangel, Michael who did war against the serpent in Revelation, Michael who is the archangel of God. You know, I saw something a couple years ago. I don't remember if it was on some news network. I don't know which one. It was an evening program. It was Larry King. That's what it was. And we had just moved to Frederick. And he had on his program a young boy who had a near-death experience and said ever since then he's been able to see angels. He had a psychic, and he had Max Licato. Now, that's a pretty wild crowd right there. And so he was going through and he was talking about this, and this boy was talking about how the angels communicate with him and how they talk to him and how it's so comforting and peaceful. And then the psychic says, you know, I'm getting vibes right now and revelations right now that they're talking about your mom and they're saying this and they're talking about your aunt and they're talking. And so she's talking and the whole time it's funny because I never really, you know, I've read some of Max Lucado's work, but I've never actually seen him. That's the first time I'd actually seen his face before. And so he's sitting there, and the whole time the camera goes, and he's just smiling. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen him, but he's got that, like, grandfather smile where he just heads kind of sideways and just smiles the whole time. And as they're talking, and Larry King says, Max, what do you think about this? Is he really seeing angels? And Max says, well, yeah, he is. And I think that blew them away. Wait a second. He is? Well, yeah. Is she talking to angels? Well, of course she's talking to angels. Wait a second, Max, are you sure? Well, you have to realize demons are fallen angels. Oh, no, that just set everybody off. What do you mean, demons? He says, understand this. What we call demons, we think they have pointy horns and red tails and pitchforks. They're angels. They're angels that rebelled against God. They're angels that followed Satan, who was an angel of light, a beautiful angel. But they rebelled. You see, the ugliness of them is not their appearance. The ugliness is the attitude or the spirit they took on of rebellion, and they rebelled against God, and so therefore were cast out of heaven. And they can deceive, and they have understanding, and they have power just as other angels. He says, so understand. Absolutely. He said, this psychic world, it's a very real thing. And he made mention of something that I may mention to many times where Saul consults a medium, King Saul consults a medium, asks her to bring up the spirit of Samuel, the prophet who had passed away. People say, is this stuff real? Absolutely, it's real. And here's the thing. When the world connects with this, when people in the world connect, all of a sudden they think they've connected with something wonderful. No. You've connected with something that will kill you because you don't understand it, that will destroy you, that will lead you down a path you don't want to go. You see, spiritual warfare is real. There are spirits, like the Prince of Persia, or a little later on here in the same chapter, when Gabriel says to him, I'm going to leave, and then the Prince of Greece is going to come. There are spiritual warfare going on all around us, people being duped, people being deceived. And the idea is division, strife, anger, rage, depression, what will ever drive you away from God, that's what that spirit will do. And a lot of times, and in the church, we do this a lot. We try to fight those things in the natural, like, oh, well, we've got to do this and this and this, X, Y, and Z. This is a spiritual warfare. I can't come against somebody and argue them out of their depression. Nobody would try to do that in here, would you? Yet sometimes we try and come against somebody and argue them out of their alcoholism, don't we? Or we try and argue them out of their drug addiction, don't we? You can't do that. Or we try and argue them out of their anger. Can't do that. We try and argue them out of being lost. We try to argue them out of their disbelief. You cannot do that. You're trying to win a spiritual war with a non-spiritual means. It has to be done in the spirit. So the first thing I want us to see this morning as we talk about taking up arms in Daniel chapter 10, and we're going to come back to this in a little while, but this is real. Spiritual warfare is real. Turn with me now over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to pick up here where Paul is encouraging, exhorting. As a matter of fact, he even says, I'm pleading with the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Just the first six verses here we're going to read. You see, discernment is something we need, and there's humility in discernment. There is humility in spiritual warfare. Just like with discernment when we talked about it, the way you gain discernment is when you start discerning things in your own life first. I start seeing my failures. I start seeing my flaws. I start seeing what's happening in me, and I get a humility from it. I get a humbleness realizing I don't deserve to see what God is showing me. I don't deserve His grace. I don't deserve His mercy. And then my mind is reset. And through that, I can then discern what's happening around me because I'm not looking down my nose saying, this is, I'm looking at it saying, man, I was, that could have been me. That was me. That, you know, those sort of things. Spiritual warfare is no different. I cannot engage in spiritual warfare and say, well, I am mighty and I will go out and do whatever I will. No. I must engage in spiritual warfare with humility because I'm not going to win anyone to Christ by arguing them to Jesus Christ. I'm not. You need to know your faith. You need to know why you believe what you believe. Defending the faith and being apologetics, I'm 100% about that. You have to know what you believe. You have to know why you believe it. But understand this. Arguments don't win souls. Evidence and knowledge and understanding are to build our faith, to build our walk, to build our closeness with God, that we might be Jesus Christ to the world around us. So this is where this message might hurt a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the first six verses. Now, the first couple verses, we're all for it. We're going to be ready for this. It's the last two that might mess with us a little. So let's go to this, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 10. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you. All right, now Paul's pleading. This is important. I am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. He's speaking of himself. Verse 2, but I beg you. This is twice. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some. Watch this. Who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Paul says a lot there in just those six verses. And we're going to spend the next couple of minutes dissecting this. First, he says, I, Paul, I'm pleading with you. This is important. Paul was not a man to mince words. He didn't throw extra words in. He didn't overuse words. But when something was important, he got it out there. I'm pleading with you. What's he saying to them? Well, what he's been saying the entire book. And what he said in the letter before this one. You and I have been given authority in Christ. I want you to think about that a moment. I know we hear that a lot, and I know we say that a lot, but have we thought on that? Have we meditated on that thought? You and I have been given authority in Christ. What authority? You've been given authority over spirits. You have. You and I have been given authority over spirits. You and I have been given authority over sin because of Jesus Christ. Understand, we didn't earn it. We've been given authority over spirits, given authority over sin. We've been given authority over death itself, have we not? Through Jesus Christ, we have been given the authority over death. His victory has been applied to us. That's why the Bible says we're more than conquerors, because we have a victory we never even fought for. We're more than conquerors because we never even got in the battle. It was just awarded to us because of what he did for us. So if we, the church, have an authority from Jesus Christ, have the authority of Jesus Christ, we have authority over spirits, we have authority over sin, we have authority over death, we have authority over oppression. But watch this. Without proper training, without preparation, without a respect and a discipline, we will never be able to use that authority properly or bring glory to God with it. You see, because it's spiritual warfare. It's not just going to church on Sundays. It's not just living a Christian life, so to speak, and trying to be a good person. It is literally spiritual warfare. It is defeating the plans of the enemy. Verse 4 spells it out. The weapons of our warfare. I don't know if you've ever realized this, but weapons require training. Weapons require preparation. Weapons require discipline. You would not take a dangerous weapon and hand it to somebody who was untrained and undisciplined, would you? You wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. There's no way. How many of you would take your... Think about your most unstable friend right now. Now, if you're thinking about me, I'm offended. No, I'm just kidding. Think about your most unstable friend right now. They're just the wild one. They don't have no filter, as they say, or whatever. They don't have any self-discipline. How many of you would take a fully automatic gun and say, here, catch? Wouldn't do it, would you? Because it doesn't make sense. How many of you had a child? And you had, we used this analogy before, you got a car. You got a nice car, real nice car. And you got a 15-year-old who's never drove. How many of you are going to throw the keys and say, here you go, have fun? No. Don't even shake your head yet because you're lying in church. No. Ain't nobody giving a 15-year-old the keys to the brand new car. Why? Because they don't know how to operate it yet. They haven't been trained. They haven't been prepared. They don't understand what they're doing. But when they understand what they're doing, guess what? You ain't got to drive to the store no more. You just yell up the stairs. Which one of y'all is going to the store? Because I ain't. It's a powerful tool, is it not? But it's the same thing with spiritual warfare. It's the same thing with the weapons that we are given by God. You see, we have been given this authority over spirits, over sin, over death, over oppression, over depression. We've been given this authority, but until we understand it, until we have proper training, until we have proper preparation, boot camp, as it were. Boot camp's not easy. Some people don't even make it through boot camp when it comes to basic training. But when they come out the other side, they are prepared for war. They are prepared, disciplined, educated, trained. They know what they're doing. They know why they're doing it. They know how. They know everything they need to know. And they have a respect for authority. They have an obedience to orders. And they are ones who can be trusted to go forth and do what they were trained to do. You see, it's time for the church to take up arms. In order for us to do that, we've got to be trained in what it is we were called to do. We've got to be trained in the weapons of our warfare. The weapons of our warfare. There's weapons required in what we do, and it requires training, discipline, purpose. It's not a matter of me getting saved and saying, we're going to warfare. I'm going to grab this right here and see what it does. No, don't do that. We're going to warfare. I'm going to go find me an atheist and start talking to him and arguing with him. No, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You're going to cut the tie between that person and Christ, possibly, and you're going to mess up your own faith. It's not about arguing. It's not about overcoming individuals. That's not what spiritual warfare is. It's so much deeper. But here's the thing. When we take up arms, we have to fight a spiritual warfare that's not necessarily external all the time. You see, our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. We have been gifted. We've been given, equipped. We talked about in Sunday school this morning. We each one of us has spiritual gifts given to us by the Spirit of God for His purpose, His design, His glory. And we've been gifted and equipped for an understanding, for a purpose. And as I think it's 2 Peter that says, He has given us everything we need through our knowledge of Him. Everything we have weapons to pull down strongholds. We have weapons to overcome demons. We have weapons to overcome oppression. But we have to be trained in how to use those weapons. It's not just about me getting emotional. It's not just about me getting passionate. I get passionate about a lot of things. I get excited about things. I have strong feeling for certain, but I've got to know. I've got to be able to seek God. I've got to be able to have an understanding and a commitment and a discipline, because even the most well-trained soldiers, some of them don't come home from battle, do they? It happens. We face a very serious enemy. The enemy sets up bunkers, but you're the bunker buster. That's what God has created you to be. But it requires training. It requires discipline. And it requires purpose. I hear people say, I want to be like the apostles. That's awesome. Then you have to live like them. Whoa, wait, what? And that's where God loses so many people. It hurts, but it's true, church. We want to be like Daniel. We want to be like Elijah. We want to be like Peter, James, John, Paul. But we don't want to necessarily do what they did. walking away from everything. Peter had his own fishing business. He walked away from it, never went back. Well, he went back for a little while when he denied Christ and he was feeling sorrowful. But then when he was restored, he left it once again and went out and just chased after the call. You say, that's awful extreme, yes. Our enemy's awful extreme, church. Don't take my word for it. What does the word have to say about this? Verse 5. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I want to ask you right now, whose thoughts can you control? Whose thoughts can you grab a hold of? Only our own. That's it. So this spiritual warfare we're talking about, it starts inside of us. It doesn't start with me running out and charging against the world and I'm going to change everything. It starts with me being changed, with me being disciplined, with me taking the thoughts and making them obedient to Christ. See, if I'm going to go into warfare, I need to know the plan. I need to know the battle plan really well, or I'm going to get hurt. I can control my thoughts. I can control what's inside of me. Here's more that lends itself to that. Verse 6, it says, and being ready to punish all disobedience. Yes, we want to hear that. Watch this, though. When your obedience is fulfilled. When your obedience. You're ready to go forward. You're ready to take down everything that sets itself up against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You want to do this. You're called to do this. You're going to do this. And you will do it when your obedience is fulfilled. You see, you can't just rush out. And we get excited when we talk about spiritual warfare because it is real. We do have an understanding. We do know what it is. But we have to be prepared for it.